You are not alone. And now there are two resources that I've put together specifically for your journey. This is your host, Rachel Bernstein. I am an educator and a therapist and a cult specialist. And I am very excited to announce Restart and Restore, a journal for survivors of manipulation, and a companion notebook that I've put together to go with it that has people's stories that they've shared with me that they wanted to share with you, and some wonderful quotes from people whose thoughts I truly admire, and more pages and writing prompts for you to continue with the writing that can help you along your healing journey. This isn't just another blank journal. It's a trauma-informed recovery companion, and it offers psychoeducation on the mechanics of manipulation and control and therapeutic writing prompts to explore your history and your strengths, practical exercises that transform insights into some actionable steps, and the freedom to heal at your own pace. You can do it in the time frame that works for you without any judgment or pressure. Whether you joined the organization or the relationship that was controlling as a teen or as an adult, Restart and Restore provides the structure and, I think, validation needed to process your experiences safely. I'm also excited to share, beyond the journal and its companion notebook, that I'm currently working on a second journal specifically for those born and raised in high-control groups or high-control family units, as their healing journey often involves different and specialized challenges. Restart and Restore and its companion notebook are available now, and you can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. I hope it's helpful to you or to someone you love. Thanks for tuning in to our bonus episode preview. This is just a short sample of this week's exclusive Patreon episode. You can hear the episode in its entirety by becoming a member at patreon.com/indoctrination, where you'll gain access to all of our exclusive episodes and merchandise. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for all of your support. It is so appreciated and so wonderful. Here is the second part of my talk to you about self-talk. It is so important to be careful in the way that you talk to yourself and the way that you interpret things in your own mind. The way you might talk yourself out of feeling okay about something or talk yourself into not feeling okay about yourself. And so I really want to make sure that we cover these kinds of subjects because people wind up absorbing what are called negative introjects. Introjects, it's been sort of injected inside of you when a teacher will say, oh, you're not very good at this, even though teachers should never say that. But sometimes they do, sometimes more often than they should. And you walk around throughout your life thinking, oh, I'm not very good at this, whatever this is. You don't know that for a fact. And you don't know if it's true or even still true, if it was ever true. Or I am not deserving of something good in my life and joy will always be outside of my reach, or I'm a bad person, so I don't deserve good things. Whatever it is that you say to yourself that sounds so definitive and so sure, review it in your mind and wonder why you just said something in such a definitive, such a sure tone that may or may not be true. When we move on into the next part of our discussion, it is good to talk about these core principles that are for working with things like self-talk. So before we get to the tools, there are these guiding principles that I want to make sure that we cover. One is this idea of safety first. Regulate the nervous system, your nervous system, before you do any kind of heavy cognitive work, before you're about to embark on figuring something out that you really need to figure out or something that is really bothersome to you, that you're going to be getting into potentially some history or something emotional. Take some deep breaths. Find yourself in a nice quiet space if that's what you want, or in a social space if that makes you feel less isolated and better, whatever it is that you need to help you when you go into these subjects. So again, regulate your nervous system as much as you can, or put music on while you're thinking about these things. Then the next principle is to do what we call externalizing the voice. Treat the internalized critic as like a part or a role, not you. This was something that you absorbed, or you might even hear these words in someone else's voice because that's where they originated. But know that it is this internalized critic, and that means that it might not be accurate and it doesn't actually define all of you. And then this next principle is curiosity over blame. So what that means is that you want to sort of ask what the critic is trying to protect you from. Because sometimes there are people who will say, you know what, I'm actually worried about taking a risk because I just feel like I'm going to fail. So I just don't take the risk. I just don't go out for that part, or I don't try out for the team, or I don't try to even go for the interview at a particular job, because if I get knocked down, if the thing happens that I'm sure is going to happen, which is that I'm not going to get it, I'm going to feel even more devastated. So I'd rather not try. So is your internalized critic protecting you? And evaluate, do you need that level of protection? Then, if you can, do some immediate grounding techniques and some short scripts, kind of like 90-second routines. Like if the critic hijacks you, maybe you try the kind of grounding technique that does help, which is to take 5 slow breaths and to say to yourself, I'm here, I'm okay, I'm just breathing, I'm preparing, and I'll be able to think about this and talk about this without it destroying me. And maybe I just need to look at things differently. Let's give it a shot. Something very safe and really very regulated and very sensible. Then, if you're starting to feel anxious, then you want to name that sensation. What am I feeling and where am I feeling it? Do I feel a tightness in my shoulders or in my jaw? Am I feeling nauseous, which is adrenaline sending more acid to your stomach? Is my heart racing? Am I feeling faint, which is also adrenaline causing you to have shallow breathing? So you aerate your body, I think, a little more quickly. But still, it can make you feel lightheaded. Naming it sometimes lowers the physiological reactivity. Like, oh, I'm just talking about it as a sensation. And then you're kind of detached from it. And you can look at it from a bit of a distance. Then you also want to label the voice. So give it a neutral name. Again, if you hear all this chatter that is critical of you, maybe you can call it something like the watcher or the rule keeper or whatever kind of term helps you understand where it came from and maybe what purpose it's serving that, again, may or may not be necessary.